Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. On the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is a channel sports in depth for the show. It's a Sunday, the sports rap final for the end of the day with the crew. The Posse, Destino, baby, Lois, Mel, Smith, Cosell, Lady A, C-Wings. They'll all be coming in soon. Harold Weston Jr. Now, you know, we've got three juniors here. But before we do that, let's get it back. And let's start off like we always do with a prayer. John Coltrane in the background. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Asking the Lord that you have your will and your way. And your way is the only way, and the way we want to be. We thank you, the Lord, for little things so largely taken for granted. We thank you, the Lord, for blessings unseen, unmerited, forthcoming, have come, and will come. We thank you, the Lord, that we are, as my mother say, awoke today clothed in our right mind. Forgive us where we come up short, dear Lord. Make us what you want us to be. Bless our families here in America, Brazil, Portugal, Dominican Republic. And more importantly, Lord, let your way be our way. A man once said, although we do not live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue bench. And we ask these blessings in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Lake, Greater Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Depth Show. It is another Sunday. And, hey, hold on.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Well, Mel, Cosell, Smith Jr. Well, Rooney, last night's fight, as I saw it, Mayweather winning, but as I saw it, Cotto shows that he's got a lot still left to show in the world of the sweet science here, Mel Cosell.
Well, always a pleasure, good doctor, and I want to welcome all of those listening in the vast sports in-depth nation to another great weekly panel discussion of ours. I thank them for tuning in. Doc, Floyd's the best in the world, Doc. Though a very strong challenge issued by Miguel Cotto. I think one of the few times that the buying audience via pay-per-view, I was pleased with the efforts. Both guys gave tremendous efforts. Both guys came to fight. Floyd shows why he is, I believe, now 43-0. And tremendous effort on both sides. Cotto came to fight. Cotto was there every minute of the fight. Cotto pressed him during the entire fight. He was always there, always trying, gave maximum effort, and basically showed why pound for pound Floyd's the best fighter in the world today.
You know what? You bring up a good point here. I want to say hello, Cotto across Brazil, over in Rio de Janeiro. You know, Americans, we say Rio de Janeiro. In Portuguese, it's Rio de Janeiro, and my beloved friend Rosie and her family. You know, Rosie listens every week live from Rio de Janeiro, and we appreciate her and all the other listeners over there. Leonardo going down to Fortaleza, my man Stevie Glazer, Deixo Cotamacio Jr., all the people out in that Marina Parque, AJ Viviani, Junior and Company, and then to Trebajato Justino, and that great crew he has there. And we just want to say, Oi, Brazil, and Teodoro. You know, I think last night's fight erased any questions about the heart of Mayweather. I mean, there were some people who questioned his heart to the degree of figuring that he had never been pushed. And last night, not only did Cotto push him, but I think Cotto pushed himself to the forefront again as a fighter of merit. I mean, because there were those who thought a lot of ways that he may have been sort of beaten. I thought, too, that he had some tough fights. And but on the other hand, you know, Floyd again has showed he's earmarked toward immortality as a great fighter. But I think last night showed, as the Sugar Shane Mosley fight showed, that he doesn't have that, and I think Dusty would probably agree that Mayweather doesn't have that killer instinct. The fight with Mosley was there to be had. If that's Ray Leonard, if that's Tommy Hearns, if that's Duran, Mosley does not go the distance. And in fighting last night, if Cotto was, as I thought, on the downhill side, he wouldn't have went 12 rounds with Ray Leonard. He wouldn't have went 12 rounds with Tommy Hearns. He wouldn't have went 12 rounds with Howard Weston. He wouldn't have went 12 rounds with Duran. But then again, you know, we're not in there fighting, and it did show Rooney that, this guy is the best fighter in the world, pound, and he can fight. And I remember the line that Ollie Dunlap, what a great human being, and Ollie Dunlap said, they're in Mike Trainor's office, and Mike Trainor says to them, can he fight, meaning Ray Charles Leonard. And Ollie and Jake Morton, they look at each other and they're smiling, and they say, can he fight? He just won Olympic gold medals. No. I know he can box. Can he fight? And last night we saw, again, I think people have forgotten down the line, you know, he got into a little fight there with Balamore for a while. He a great chess match with Zab Judah. He fought a little bit with Krauss. He showed last night, Rooney, that he can fight.
He can definitely rumble, Doc. And, you know, people were tending to think for a moment. And this is a perfect point made by you, the doctor, and the fact that, yes, he can box. Yes, he has hand speed. Yes, he has a great jab. Yes, he's an excellent defensive fighter, blah, 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 blah. But when the jig is up, when he's corny, when the guy's in his face and bringing it hard, can he rumble? The answer is undoubtedly yes, Doctor. You saw it right there in black and white and color.
You know, which makes you go to this point again. And I want to apologize to Leonard Ellerbe. We have tried to catch up with him. We wanted to, but, you know, I missed him early part of the week. We had some technical difficulties. And then I looked at his schedule. He was just so, so, so busy. And I'm going to try to catch up with tomorrow. Maybe we can get Mr. Ellerbe back here with us next week. But, you know, as you mentioned, you got to wonder now. I mean, does Pacquiao want to fight him? I mean, he showed last night, if there's one question, because the big thing that Pacquiao's camp kept saying was that, you know, well, he's a great counterpuncher. Well, he's more than a great counterpuncher. You know, he's got the, and, you know, I remember that great line, that there comes a time that it's not about the money, about being the champ. And last night, you know, he was about being the champ. I mean, there were questions that some people thought that maybe he took Cotto because he thought Cotto was a soft touch. Maybe he took Cotto because he knew. No. He did two things last night. Besides showing that he's a great champion. Besides showing that he has heart. Besides showing that he can fight. He showed that Cotto's not done. And more importantly, he put the most money in Cotto's pocket he's ever had. It's outstanding that in the fight that Cotto lost, that he really didn't lose, because last night he made 8 million smackaroonies. And so what Mayweather and Ellerbe have shown is that these guys are awesome. Not only they do a great job in promoting, because that was a good undercard. I mean, we had the Sugar Shane fight, and then we had also Kid Chocolate. I mean, these guys are going to be a force to reckon with when Mayweather is no longer inside the ring.
Yeah, Doc, no question about it. The opponent for Mayweather, Sugar Shane Mosley, help me, Doc, because, of course, my memory is leaving me at the moment. But his opponent, a rising star who is going to be heard from again. And his style of, come on, let's get it done, let's rumble, a rising star. You'll be hearing a lot more from him, Doctor.
Oh, yeah, no question. Gilberto Ortiz, our working on boxing Latin sportscaster, is very high on him, and he says that maybe that's the fight we may see if Pacquiao and Mayweather can't get it together, Alvarez and Mayweather. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake with the Network Rainbow, so the channel Sports and Death is a show waiting for Sea Wings to join us, as well as Lady A, and also we should, pretty soon down the line, Dusty should be joining in, so we're looking for Dusty to join us. We're looking for Lady A, 347-421-5390. We've got you in.
Harold Weston, yeah.
Harold Weston Jr. is here. I think, okay, Dusty's coming in. Okay, we got Dusty here. So, you know, last night, Dusty, did Mayweather show you anything? I think a lot of people felt that he's got a lot of heart, and I think, you know, the guy that you picked, he showed that he's not done. No doubt about it. Cotto is still a force to be reckoned with, Dusty.
No. Cotto is finished, done. Mm. Done, not because he's a sharp fighter, because he's a stupid fighter. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You never throw away an opportunity to unseat the unbeatable.
Mm-hmm.
And that idiot threw away every opportunity, and then he runs away like a kid who didn't get his pablum and locks himself in the locker room and won't go through an interview.
Let me tell you something. Dusty, you talking about the eighth round?
I'm talking about the entire goddamn round, 12 rounds.
ladies and gentlemen, Dusty's leaving no stone unturned.
I didn't go to bed till 4 o'clock this morning writing my story, and you should see how I blasted him. And if he wants to sue me, he can sue me, but he's an idiot.
Let me play the disclaimer one more time. There's the views and
the views or whatever views.
All right.
I mean, you never throw away an opportunity. When you spend 3-4 months in a freaking training camp, build up to show the world that you can do, and then you don't do.
Dusty,
you rope a dope. And
What about Emmanuel Stewart?
Doc, hold on.
No. What Emmanuel Stewart said is exactly what I said. Coincide. What is this dude doing dancing and prancing like Rudolf Nureyev when he should have been on Mayweather's back, pounding him like he did sporadically, and gave the fight away? He gave everything else away. That's why I couldn't care less. I mean, I'm not in love with Cotto any more than I'm in love with Mayweather. Mm-hmm. I am a media person who sees things in at the way as they should be. And when you throw away a chance, like he did yesterday, with all this hoopla that I'm ready and my demons are gone and I'm going to fight him better than Margarito, and then you do nothing, well, then you deserve to get what you got. And that's where Cotto was a loser.
I've been saying for the longest, Doc, that the technique and the strategy that he had he really done, like, I guess Dusty and I are on the same page, but I've been telling you for the longest, the way to fight him is the way that he fought him yesterday. I told you that,
absolutely,
like 2-3 weeks ago. It's simple math of physics. If you take away angles and you fight somebody inside who has speed, they're not going to be able to generate speed like that. So he had to, obviously, he's one of the greatest defensive guys in boxing, but you have to be able to capitalize.
It's not so much, lady, let me interject. It's not so, man, I am pissed off as hell, so forgive me. It's not so much the speed, because Floyd has always had the speed, the technique. That's mm-hmm. something that's ingrown. They broke the mold with it. It's not going to be another Floyd Mayweather unless he clones somebody.
Right.
But there's not going to be a fighter who's going to take over and do what Floyd can do blindfolded. But Freddie Roach said something very curious a couple of years ago, and I never forgot it. He says, when I study films, I don't watch the fighter's style. Styles are relative. I watch and look for the fighter's bad habits. And Cotto, for years, and it didn't become so clear to me as last night, for years, he's had this stupid bad habit. He pounds you, then he dances and jumps and does pirouettes like Rudolf Nureyev instead of staying on the case. Emmanuel Stewart said it yesterday. I don't understand his method. He's tiring himself out. He's pounding Floyd. He's hurting Floyd. Then he bounces back. I said, my God, that's what's gonna throw away the fight. That's exactly what. And if you want to, you got emails, I'll send you the story that I wrote to cut him down, because I am disgusted with the stupid way he fought. It's not that I wanted him to beat Floyd. I wanted him to do what he said he was going to do, and he didn't do it. And that
why? That's
is
mean, why?
Habits.
Why? That's
bad
mean.
Habits.
Hmm.
Excuse me.
Why didn't he do what he said he was going to do?
I don't know. It's a mind game, because you take Floyd. No, really. Floyd says, I'm coming with my A game. Floyd never disappointed me coming in with his A game. The only thing with Floyd is that he fought tank towners, nondescript, non-competitive people, like a blown-up super featherweight Marquez, a looking-for-a-paycheck Shane Mosley, and a battering ram Ortiz. He was never challenged as he was last night.
Yeah.
And yet the challenger was the stupid one, because he didn't continue challenging.
But you know what, Dusty?
After the seventh round.
You know what, Dusty? I agree with you, but on top of that, I think that, you know, all the fights, out of 40-some-odd fights, this was the one fight where I could tell you that he altered and he changed the approach that most fighters have used to fight Floyd. And even though he wasn't successful, he did show,
He had the plan, and what Dusty says, he had the plan. He stopped using the plan, and you're saying the same thing. Harold, what's happening here, Harold?
Well, my thoughts about it is this, okay? And this is how I break it down. When somebody supposed to be a superior boxer and supposed to be great, no matter, and I'm talking about nobody. I mean, nobody, if I'm going to beat your butt, I'm going to beat your butt good in that round, okay?
Absolutely.
I'm taking the round away. Let's go on these thoughts, okay? Every round that was close, let's give it to Cotto. But Cotto don't supposed to win no close. He's supposed to be not in the fight. Let's get
that's
that
correct.
Straight.
That's
he's
correct.
He's supposed to be in the fight.
That's a great right? point, Harold.
But
that's right.
Give me every round that was close. Give it to Cotto.
That's
and
right.
Tell me who wins the fight.
They're right. You're 100%
Absolutely.
Right. You're 100% right
Absolutely.
There, Harold. 100% right.
Absolutely.
Stuff that Cotto did. My point is this. I said from day one, all Mayweather is his father and his uncle. And they
Absolutely.
Wasn't great. All right, I've been
yep,
saying that
absolutely.
From day one. When we talked last week, I picked Cotto, and I said he's going to beat him and fight him like he fought the other kid. I said, but the
absolutely.
Thing he's got to do, he's got to stay on top of it. What messed Cotto up is the long layoff from the time he fought Margarito to be fighting now.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with a lot of these fighters today.
The 5 months, you're saying the 5 months, right? Because he fought
oh,
him on December 3rd,
oh,
right?
No question. If
5 months.
If he won a warm-up fight before he fought this fight, believe me, he'd wipe Mayweather out. Because
fighters don't have that confidence
of their stamina going into these kind of fights. You got to understand, this is a big fight. And now you've been on for 5 or 6 months.
So Harold, in that statement
you
just made,
you lose
I'm sorry.
A little bit before you get to the ring.
No, Harold, my question to you, so do you think that more at the 11th to 12th round that he was already, like, somewhat conditioning had a part to play in it in the 11th and 12th round, or you just think it was just the fact that he didn't capitalize on what he had to in the 11th or 12th round?
No matter how what kind of condition you in, fatigue makes cowards out of anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
And the thing is that with Mayweather and Cotto, mm-hmm. when they started feeling a little tired, then they started panicking a little bit.
Right.
And so they don't want to really make themselves exhausted. So they step back.
Coasted.
Well, I think my
point is
Hold on.
He showed me he should have dominated each round that he should win, and he did not do that.
Absolutely.
And so my opinion of the whole thing, he lost the fight from that point of view for me.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you saw how happy. See, I never seen a man so happy in my life winning a fight. Like
exactly, he was relieved.
He was relieved. Any fighter that knows got his behind beat, believe me, he glad that he got that gift last night.
No, and it's funny because Cotto said, Cotto's line was, the judges said, I lost. He didn't say it. The judges said, I lost. So now he's, Dusty, why are you so angered? I mean, did he disappoint you? Was it the stupidity?
I know why he's angry, because the fact he knew he could do more. If he did just a little bit more and stay with it, he would have really looked good.
Okay, but
I exactly. That, he's supposed to be mad.
I echo
what Harold says and what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you play. Look. Let me tell you something. I'm an ex-military man. I was special forces. You plan an invasion of your enemy. You do recon. You do studies. You do preparation. You go through dry runs to prepare for that war. And you go out there, and then you ship shammy. You give your position away, and you get your ass blown away. That's exactly what Cotto did. The only thing that I found this little argumentative was the fact that, yes, they were both off for a long time because Mayweather fought, Ortiz in September, I think it was. So they were both, it was a nice time to get back into training camp. I mean, Cotto went 2 weeks after the Margarito fight, he went back to camp. But they set up the strategies. Is an opportunity wasted by Cotto's incompetence and not following the plan? This is what I'm saying.
Well, all I have to say is I've said it for the longest. I said it for the longest. And I told Doc 3 weeks ago that how he had to fight him, and he did what he did, and he somewhat exposed some of those things, like Harold was saying, but he didn't capitalize on it. And I've been saying it for the longest time. You fight him, you said the way you fight him, you cut the angles, and you bring the fight to him. You got a chance of beating him, and everybody's always fighting him on the outside. Come inside and let's fight in the phone booth.
Lady A, you got to understand this in plain, simple sight, okay? That if you are dominated by habits, you're going to lose the fight.
Right, no, of course.
I mean, what makes this jackass, knowing full well that he has the top dog in his corner and he's hurting him, he busted his nose. That's the first time I saw
Mayweather.
And pounded, and then he looks at his work, and he stands back like the Sistine Chapel in Da Vinci. Oh, look what a great work of art. That's stupid. You stay on the man, and you destroy him. First of all, Floyd is good cover-up with his arms and elbows. Harold, I don't know whether you agree with me or not, but the man covers up, you pound the biceps, you pound the elbows.
Because after a while, how long is that going to work? By the 10th, 11th round, he ain't going to be able to hold his arms up. That's the strategy, of course.
But that's the point that I'm trying to tell you. You pound. Cotto's arms were free, and he leans on Floyd and doesn't punch.
I'm going to tell you this, though.
One of his arms was tagged or held by Floyd. He had another free hand, and he wouldn't even move that free hand. What is he doing? He's throwing the
it might work if you're a great puncher and you're punching the body. I mean, but let me just say this. I mean, the reason why you do the blocking and everything so you can avoid the pressure of the punch. And at the same time, you punch when you're punching and throw, let's say, 10 punches. I can believe if I throw 10 punches at you and if you're a good defensive fighter, I'm going to hit you with two or three of them.
Right.
Okay? Exactly.
Nobody is not going to get away from 10 straight punches.
Exactly.
And so the whole strategy of Floyd having this defense, the reason why a lot of guys hesitate because they have this thing in their mind, I'm throwing punches, I'm not hitting them, I'm going to get tired.
But a lot of that was him rolling punches too, Harold. You saw that, right?
And that is the thing of psychologically beating every fighter that fights Floyd Mayweather. That's how come I said to y'all before, Floyd is not that great. I am never going to put him in the category with those great welterweights that came out of there because he'd have got his little butt knocked out.
Well, no, when the show opened, Harold, me and Rooney, I said, no, I think he showed his lack of greatness, his lack of immortality, and the fight that he took a shot, Shane Mosley, 12 rounds, and then, you know, last night. So, I mean, I don't put him in with I don't put him in with the Ray Leonards and the Durans and Harold West and the Tommy Hearns. Those guys blow his head off.
But there's guys before that. You had Jose Napolis. You had Emil Griffin. I can go on and on and on.
Go ahead.
That guy was just made him look like mushroom.
Harold, Curtis Coates? Mm-hmm. Curtis Coates?
Curtis Coates would knock him out cold as a mackerel.
What about Hedman Lewis?
Hedman Lewis would beat him so bad, boy, he'd have been calling him his mama, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, being
in there, knowing I've been in there and been with these guys and everything and seeing these guys, like I said, you know, I was talking to one newspaper man, we're talking about an era that people killed people.
Mm-hmm.
We knew how to kill guys in the ring. This is a joke out here today. These guys knew how to kill people, and that's what they were in the ring. We went in there to try to kill each other.
Exactly. Wow, that's exactly the what I'm saying. I piggyback everything that Harold Wesson says. This was war. The real war was in our time, not the little baby craft nonsense here. And this is what I'm trying to make you understand, that if this dude did not do what he was supposed to do, and the one who was a little slicker and faster looked great. And you're absolutely right, Harry. You took the words out of my mouth. He was relieved that he survived.
Yeah.
You see him jumping and apologizing to Harold Larry Merchant and
hugging
Jim Lampley and Emmanuel.
I don't know if you guys agree with me. I'm going to make a statement. I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but I honestly think that this is probably the only and first and only war he's really been in.
Well, I see. Let me say this. I think really challenged him.
Back up,
let me say this, if I may, okay? And piggybacking on what Lady A. Howard and Dusty say, they're making it, if I gather their opinion correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, these pros are basically saying that it's not so much a great or domineering performance by Mayweather as opportunity lost by Cotto.
What you're saying, Rooney, is that last night Mayweather didn't win, Cotto lost. Don't move anybody. Nobody say a word. Hold on.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Last night in Las Vegas, Floyd, pretty boy, Money Mayweather, escaped, as the panel say, got away, boogie away.
Rumors are he made 45 mil.
Was that the end result? I thought it was 32 he started out with.
You know what?
45
minutes. I could struggle with either one of them. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake with the Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports Network, the show. It is the Sunday Rap Final. They're all here. The First Lady of Sports, Lady A. The first of the juniors, Justino Baby Lois. The second one, Harold Weston Jr. and Mel Kelsell Smith. Looking for see if we can join talking about football. Gentlemen, let's get away for a minute, ladies. Let's go with you and Dusty. Is Mariano going to come back next year? Your gut feeling.
I hope so. You know, let me tell you something about Mariano and old age. I asked my kid, Damien, and I said, gee, you know, I don't remember pitchers fielding balls. I said, no, Pop, they do that all the time to warm up their arms and get loose. Mm-hmm. He does that every time. So here the man does what he's been doing for God knows 20, 30 freaking years. He makes a wrong step, and there goes the age-old meniscus, and it tears. So, I mean, and it tears so badly that the man is out for the season, and they're talking about that. This is his Hall of Fame. I mean, he's not going to come back next year. Mariano says, yes, I'm coming back. Oh, anybody can say, I'm coming back. Talk is cheap. But the reality is, and I saw the graphics of his tears, and I'm saying, oh, my God, this guy really tore two areas. And
now is it the meniscus or is it the ACL?
Hold on, meniscus. Dusty, Lady A,
yeah.
Both of you. A thought here. It's a freak accident, okay? Lady A, Mel Cosell,
yes.
And you're the baseball, Navy baseball is on assignment. He's not going to be with us tonight. It's a freak accident. But here's a thought. Should somewhere along the line now have the Yankees said, Mariano, when you come to the ballpark, all you do is pitch. I want you to start with, is that out of line?
Okay.
Lady, you kick it off. I mean, it's a thought. I mean, should the Yankees, you know, Mariano, hey, man, that's nice. All we want you to do is pitch. Lady A, your thoughts on that?
Well, I just want to digress for a minute because, I mean, I just was wondering, is it a torn meniscus or is it a torn ACL,
yes,
anterior cruciate ligament? Because initially,
it was
reported that it was an ACL, which an anterior cruciate ligament.
Okay, Mike, well, regardless, what it is, he's out. And
the reason why I'm saying that is because that's going to have a very big effect on pitching.
Exactly.
Well,
if it's an ACL, you know, I mean, I'll tell you right now. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut you off.
No. Okay. And when you finish that, I just want everybody's thought of when you finish that, ladies, Dr. Stanley Sports Network, the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul, Channel Sports Network. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, when you come here, and you're here on a Sunday night, you get it all. I'm asking about one thing, and they're giving you the whole scoop. It doesn't get any better here because the best are right here. Baby Lois, Lady A,
don't
Harold
talk to me.
Lester,
I'm
Jr.
pissed off, so go ahead.
C-Wings, Nate B. Baseball, and sometime man from Chicago. Milo, okay, Lady, finish that. And like I said, my thought is, you know, you're talking about the severity of it, and my thinking is, you know, everybody dovetail. Should the Yankees have sometimes said, hey, you know, Mariano, it's nice with the fly balls? Because I got another thought here, too, real quick. Why do they have the warning track? I have never seen the warning track be advantageous. You know, guys still run into the wall. Guys still get knocked out. The running track has done nothing but harm. So, I mean, Dusty, in the old days, back when you played with Babe Ruth and everything, they didn't have no warning track. I mean, the guys just ran it.
They had,
you know,
nothing. They had a wooden fence and maybe a chain link fence. If you hit it, you didn't hit it. You hit it, tough luck. But what I'm trying to make you understand, that I asked my son. I asked my son. He says, "Is it Pop? That's routine. The pitchers warm up, catch shaggy flies."
Yeah, they do.
Now, I mean, who, after all these 55,000 years Mariano has been doing this, who would have thunk it that he was going to make a wrong turn and hurt himself? Now, you got Joba Chamberlain playing bungee with his son. Who would have thunk it that he would be so ridiculous after he was told, you have Tommy John surgery, don't do anything strenuous. He goes out there bungee trampoline jumping, and he tears his freaking ankle, I mean, three or four.
Yeah, but at what point, I mean, at what point do we stop limiting people completely from living their lives? I mean, you know, or doing what, you know, what they normally do. I mean,
when I'm paying you an ordinary amount of money.
It's like you said, it's a freak accident. You know what I'm saying?
No, I see what you're saying, but if I'm paying you $25 million a year, listen, while I'm paying you that, I don't want you to do anything that can
you'll
hurt
belong
you.
To me. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
but what was he doing? He was out in the field. How was that?
The case of him and Joba are two extreme differences,
I think.
Dusty's talking about changing.
No, he was warned. He was warned, Lady A. Don't do anything strenuous while you're
No, I'm saying, but I think, I'm saying, but if you were to take, I think you're talking about two extreme differences. I mean, he was out there just catching fly balls. Joba was out there.
Oh, no, Dusty's not jumping on Mariano.
Oh.
He's just on Chamberlain. He's not, what I'm saying is two thoughts here.
What I'm trying to tell you is that was policy.
Right.
The Yankees.
Oh, yeah, no.
I think most professional baseball teams and basketball teams, football teams, I mean, that's a requirement, I think, for most of their players not to get involved.
Absolutely.
You know, not to. I think.
Yeah, yeah,
I think
yeah, yeah.
You know, but again, at what point do you kind of – I mean, he's a guy – he's out there catching the fly balls. I mean, that's just – it's just the norm. It's not anything
he
that I think
did,
that, you know.
Lady, he did nothing wrong.
Exactly.
My only thought he was playing the devil's advocate is that maybe somewhere along the line a Dusty come in, Harold – yeah, Harold, you know, your last 2 years, that, you know, fellas, maybe could you, yeah, you know, it's your choice. Could you just not do anything but pitch, please, fellas, you know, just, you know, I mean, I just think, you know, with Mary, I mean, you're right, and then maybe it's a routine, it's worked, okay, I was just thinking because now my warning track, me and Rooney talked about this yesterday. I don't understand why they have a warning track because the guys still run into the wall. They trip over the one. The warning track has done nothing advantageous that I know in the history of baseball. Got you. By the time you feel the warning track, bam, you hit the wall anyway. So the best thing is just pad the walls. But the warning track has never been, in my estimation, anything advantageous. And the other day it showed what it can do. It may have well retired the greatest close in the history of baseball. So I never understood this whole thing about the warning track. On the other hand,
are you telling me that Mariano hit the warning track? He made a wrong turn.
Near the warning track, right?
He turned over himself and twisted his ankle. He didn't hit the warning track. He was maybe a foot away from the warning track when he made the wrong turn. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. Yes, the warning track.
I think
track
it was more
there.
The fact that he jammed. When he turned around, you could see he kind of, and you know, he kind of like, after they panned the camera out, you could see Alex Rodriguez's response, like, oh my God. It just looked like the way he turned, he might have jammed his leg a certain way, and then it turned another way, and his body fell to the ground.
The fact of the matter is, though, I really think that there's a serious possibility that the great Mariano may indeed change his mind about this. You know, sometime maybe later in the year when he just has his thoughts to himself and says something like, you know, I really didn't want to go out like this, but, you know, the season is very long. I was going to retire basically this year anyway. You know,
but Rudy,
something.
Rudy, on the other
year,
hand, Rudy.
Let me go on out of here because
but Rudy,
you know,
think
I'm
about
gonna
this,
retire
Rudy.
This year anyway. It's very difficult to come
but
back
Rudy,
from that injury, as Lady A
was
saying.
Where else? Forget about the money. Okay, wasn't gonna make this money, but the point is, I mean, what outside of catching, he comes to the ballpark, he catches fly balls, and then he goes sits in the bullpen, and then he comes in
yes.
and he pitches what five
every
minutes.
Day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know that ain't tough. And they tell me that nobody does it better. Oh my goodness, nobody
right.
does. It's hard.
But the point is from me at least. Is that the odds were at least 60-40 that he was going to retire this year anyway. So I'm thinking that sometime later in the year, you know, when he's just sitting down, has his thoughts to himself and says something in the neighborhood of, well, you know, something, I did want to go out like this. I know I could come back if I wanted to, but I've done this for a long time. I have nothing left to prove. I really don't need this. You know, coming back, as Lady A said, this is a very, very, very serious injury, Doc.
But Rooney, it's the best thing you do in life, Rooney. It's the best thing you do in life.
Is one thing and doing it is another, Doc.
But no, yeah, but I'm trying to say, it's the best thing you do in life, Rooney. It's the best thing you do in life, and people are paying you. I mean, you know, people are paying you. This is the best. I mean,
he was going to retire anyway, Doc.
But you know, Rooney, what we forget.
You got to understand.
What we forget, what you forget. And Dustin can tell you this, and Harold can tell you this, and you too, and Lady A, you know, this is something that you have a passion for and you love to do.
Hello?
Love for this. You love this. I mean, you know, you're not just playing baseball. You're doing something you love. And that is a big fact. Now, the big thing with him, he's going to pray over this, and the good Lord's going to lead him which way to go. But I mean, you know, Dusty was trying to kill somebody, and Harold was trying to kill somebody, but they loved what they were doing. You too, Rooney, when
you
were in the WF.
Doc, no one can tell me about the love of wanting to do what you do more. Because, you know, when you do the wrestling thing, you have to really love it to take that pounding and true brutality. No one has to tell me about the love of what you do, Doc.
And to wear those tights, Rooney.
Yeah, I'm wearing the black and gold today, lady. Now, no one has to tell me, Doc, about the pressure that you need to do what you do and how you love what you do. What I am basically trying to say, however, is that he's had this passion, he's lived out passion, he's done what he's done and been great at it for the better part of a decade, and all I'm saying is no one would blame the man or think ill of him if he were to say, you know something. You know, on second thought, I've done this for. I've had so many milestones. I love this game. You know something? I really don't need to come back from this city. I really don't need it. The game has been great to me. I've been great to the game. The game's been great to me. Let me pack it on and move on to another stage of my life. He's a successful restaurateur. Anyone would love him as an analyst. I mean, a man can do so many things and kind of branching out after being probably the greatest closer of all time. I'm just saying that I would not be shocked if he decided, you know, something on second thought, I want to hang it up and go on.
I think it has to be when it's time for you to walk away after so many years of doing something, it really has to be on your terms. And, I mean, you just ask Harold. I mean, Harold, how do you know when it was time for you to go? I mean, it's just, it has to be when you want it, you know, and if you feel it's the right time to do it.
I think that what's going to have Mario, he's going to sit around, and when he's got to go do that therapy, and he realizes his bones and body and muscles cannot take that strenuous exercise and things he's got to do.
Physical therapy.
And he's going to say, man, this is not worth it.
And he's going to go to his lawyer and his accountant.
He's going to say, how can I function with what I got? And then he's going to go to his agent and say, can you get me a job with the radio station or the TV people and make
me
some money?
But
I cannot do it no more.
You're right. Well,
in his case, you know, in Panama, He's set over there, and you know, Panama they give those guys him, Duran,
is it
Carew,
a pension or something?
Kelly, since they've brought esteem and glory and fame to Panama, they get a pension from the government. I mean, he probably owns a station. So I mean, so what you're saying here, Harold? Dusty? Is that age has a lot to do with this?
Let me interject something here. He's talked about retirement for the last three or four seasons that I can remember. But as long as he was going right and being the quality saver that he is, he was going to continue one more year, two more years. Remember, he kept telling the reporters, they kept asking him, when are you going to retire? I said, I know when I'm going to retire. You know, I'll let you guys know when I do retire. Mm-hmm. What I do not agree with is that an injury does not have to be the catalyst that says, okay, it's time for you to leave. You see, and this is what he's being forced into evaluate. I tore this. I never did it before. This is a first time injury for me. For God's sake, do I stay on? Do I extend myself for another year or to break more records? Or am I finished? Because I cannot push off this hand. I cannot push off this leg. So do I now begin to total up? Like we're doing the job, Doc. We total up our benefits and pensions.
Look at the numbers.
And we're going. And it's sad that this has to be the catalyst that tells them, Mariano, bete, go, because
it is. That's true, Dusty, but life is unfair all the time, and I agree with Harold and the fact that the man is in his 40s, I think 42, and I'm not surprised, as Harold said, I'm getting older with this, physical therapy and what I need to do to get back to where I was. You know something, I was on the verge of retiring anyway. Let me just pack it in and move on to another flavor. Another phase of my life.
But
I agree with
what I'm saying,
I don't need the rigors of what I'm going to have to go through to get back to where I was.
Let me tell you
who's going to come involved with this whole thing. His wife. Because when she's got to sit there and watch him go through this pain, and you know what she's going to say? God sent you a message.
Yeah.
Or she may say, hurry up and get out of there. I don't want to see you laying around the house.
She's going to say God sent you. She's going to say you can do it if God sent you a message. One thing about that Panama, they are very religious people, just like Puerto Rican, Latino people. They're very religious, and that's going to be the word. And that's what God did to me. He sent you a message. When he sent you that one little message, and you don't take heat wave on it, keep on going and see what happens.
Yeah, and giving you a message is true. But the tragedy here is the fact that the message has to come with packaged with an injury, and that's what I'm saying. You see, now he says, oh, man, I got injured. Maybe I'm not as young. Maybe I should begin to think about retirement before I get hurt again. You know, that's what bothers me. But who knows? He says, I'll be back. Maybe that's just publicity talk for the press to say Mariano is gutsy, he's going to come back. But a meniscus with physical therapy and all that, hey, I had knee replacement surgery, man, and I'm still going to physical therapy. And I thought I was strong. I thought, man, but with that freaking leg, man, it says, you ain't going nowhere. But what I'm saying to you is that, yes, it's tragic that an injury had to make him make up his mind. You know, that's sad.
We got Roy Jones still fighting. We got Bernard Hopkins still fighting. They're in their 40s, okay? We know they can't fight no more, but they're still fighting. Until one of them really get hurt. Like Roy Jones, he's already hurt because, I mean...
But look at Mosley. Look at the Mosley fight. Look at the Mosley fight. I mean...
Mosley's got a license to begin with.
But my point is that until that sign comes in, sometimes it comes into a person where they can't recover from it. But until that sign comes in and they don't take heat wave to it, then tragic things happen. You know, one thing I believe, I mean, when he calls you upstairs and he sends you that one signal and you don't take notice to it.
Heed.
then, it's on you from then on.
Exactly. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. But like I said, the emotional side is that it took a stupid injury doing what he did every day to tell him you're finished. And nobody wants to go through that. And that's
that's life. That's what happens in life.
Yeah.
And Howard,
you probably right, Howard. That's the signal.
But Dusty, that signal that Howard is speaking of, and you also, let me give you a quick example. I'm sure we all remember that some years ago, Joe Montana, quarterback of the Redskins, I believe, had been in the league many years, still pretty much at the top of his game, but had been considering retirement for, you know, yet another year or two. You know, had talked about the subject. And so what happened? He got that signal, I believe, that Monday night when Lawrence Taylor broke his leg in about three different directions. Joe Theismann. And LT broke that leg in about three different directions, the most horrific injuries that I've ever seen in my life. The foot was basically pointing in a zigzag in three different directions. And that was the signal that, hey, you can't do this anymore. This is a career-ending injury. Sometimes life is not there. Sometimes you can't go out on your own terms. Fate is fate.
Yeah, but remember, he tried to come back, but he couldn't play ball anymore. That was when he realized he couldn't play ball anymore, his leg was not responding. That's when he said, okay, it's time to pack. Because with that fracture, the compound fracture, he had surgeries and buildups and tubes and pipes, and he had the whole 9 yards stuck in his leg. But when he tried to come back and play football, he knew he couldn't do it. And
that was really brutal to watch.
Yeah.
The only thing I can compare it to
in wrestling
terms is a guy named El Cid, Psycho Cid, they called him, on national TV, and the leg was broken in the same way, with the leg broke pointing in a Z in three different directions. That's the only thing wrestling-wise. That I can think of actually seeing that type of horrific injury, you know, occur and unfold in front of your eyes. Absolutely brutal.
But that's basically what it is. It's sad. People get hurt, and like Harold says, and I agree, the message is on the wall. If you don't say it to yourself, something's going to happen to tell you, hey, stupid, you got to go. And this is what happens with with people who want to continue going and push the button a little longer than they should, especially when they're in a competitive. Look, it segues back into what I've been saying all summer. Peyton Manning has no business being a quarterback. He had three surgeries on his neck. For God's sake, how long is he going? He's young, or he's 38. 38, my foot. In football, you're old at 38. I mean, and you know, what the heck is he doing? Risking? Winding up in a freaking wheelchair?
Well, it's ironic you say that. It's ironic you say that, you know, Dusty, because I was reading an article today, and, you know, we all talk about the tragic death of Junior Seau and his, like,
yes,
you know, him taking his own life and everything. And I read an article today in the Daily News, and, you know, much kudos to Daily News. In the editorial page, they were talking about, you know, all these injuries that a lot of,
yeah,
these professional athletes have been receiving, primarily in football. And, you know, and the fact that studies have been done on their brains post-mortem, and they've seen,
yeah,
like horrific signs
yeah,
of, you know, the fact that their brains have gone through so much because of their
deterioration
injuries.
Yeah, deterioration, concussions, the whole nine.
Right,
yards,
and they alluded to the fact in the article that that's the reason. Well, I don't know if it's his family agreed to it, or he had already been part of a study, Junior Seau, but that when he killed himself, that's why he shot himself in his chest, so that he can,
yeah,
still, his brain can still
preserve
be saved.
The brain, yeah.
Yeah, the
so
way
you know, so then piggybacking,
yeah,
on that brain thing, and this is kind of, this is really shocking when I read the statistics as far as Pro Football Panel, that in the last year and a half, there have been no less than five suicides by gun of former,
yeah,
pro football players. Five in the last year and a half. Which to,
yeah,
me,
but,
is an alarming rate.
Well,
but here's the thing, they wear helmets. Could you guys imagine what boxers' brains,
yeah,
must look like?
You know, it's an amazing thing here.
No,
Doc Stanley,
yeah,
Sports Network,
yeah,
the Blake
Vanilla
Rainbow. Hold on, gang. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake Vanilla Rainbow, Soul Chance Sports Network, the show. And go ahead, Dusty.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, to piggyback on that, there was a survey that 8 San Diego Charger ball players met with violent death. 8 in San Diego Starcross,
right.
You know, and this is where Junior Seau came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what are we talking about? There's a pattern there somewhere, but there.
Well,
all right,
just like Harold
guys
just said, what do helmets? What kind of protection do helmets really provide? I mean, you know, like I
nothing
said, I mean,
whatsoever.
look at boxes. I mean, look, you know, if I don't know how many studies have been done on the boxes themselves, because most of them have come to light, just the studies have come to light due to football players and their injuries. But, I mean, could you imagine if those are football players or boxers' brains must look like?
Let me say something, lady. The thing that the doctors, people don't understand, is not the hit of the head, it's the hit of the neck. When that
right.
neck
yeah.
jerks back and that vertebrae goes, and that blood goes up to your brain and everything,
yeah.
that's when things really start occurring. Okay.
Exactly.
But it's not because the person gets hit in the head. It's when they get hit in their face and that head jerks real quick, like if it goes left or right or back.
Right.
Or
like upwards. Like being in a vehicle accident. Right.
Right. There you go. And that's where the injury is. So you're never going to get away from that because
exactly.
if you're in any kind of contact, you know, any court sport that you're going to be putting into, you're going to be touching somebody or hitting somebody, you're going to get an injury. I don't care what it is.
Exactly.
You're going to get injured. And that's the way life is. Us men and women, if you know that this is going to happen in the sports, you're going to get hurt. And so you shouldn't get into it. But
you
we're
know,
going to do
amazing,
it because we
too.
Like competitive matches and we like doing it.
And, when I mentioned to Lady A that he had committed suicide, the first thing she said, in retrospect, that he was successful because he had had that so-called, he drove the car off the cliff. Remember, Lady A, and he said he was actually had
yeah.
fell asleep.
DWI, I think.
Yeah. And I think that really was an attempt before. And then, you know, you look at how the thing is so calculated. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Ritter Network Rainbow Show, the channel Sports Network show. I mean, the guy shoots himself so his head can be examined.
Right.
Yeah, isn't that something?
And, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? And you question, you know why are you killing yourself? I mean, it's amazing. You look at the lifespan, they say, of a football player now. It's startling. It's 3 years.
But, you know, I read a survey one time, and I don't remember if it was in the New England Journal of Medicine. I don't remember where. But they said that every time a football player goes into the field and he's hit, it's equivalent to being in 20 vehicle accidents. That's one game.
Are you serious?
In one game.
Yes,
let me piggyback on what you just finished saying. Harold Wesson says something very critical. I'm going to steal your thunder, Harold. He says, we look at a fighter and we know that he's ready or lost his confidence or something to that effect. When we follow him to the corner and he flops down and he looks discombobulated and all that. Now, utilizing that thought, if you remember what Harold said, you got the Lampleys or the Emmanuel Stewarts or the Larry Merchant saying, oh, well, this is round one, and it's only a feel-out round. They're trying to get there into their rhythm and being so nobody was hurt. Nobody was hurt. That's their expression. Ding, they go to their corners. I'm a busybody. I look at the operations of the corner. Here they give the fighter water, and he rinses out, and what he spits out, the water is super pink. Something got busted up inside the dude's mouth or head, man. And then we go to the other corner, and they Q-tip the guy's nose. The Q-tip comes out beet red. So what are you talking about that nobody got hurt?
Right.
Some capillaries in that brain or that mouth or that ear or that neck somewhere or the brain got busted open. So
it's funny you're saying that, yeah. Because post the Jose Luis Castillo fight and Diego Corrales, remember the big fight that they said was one of the greatest fights of the century of the decade, whatever. They named it, okay. I read an article after that fight that said that 3 days after that fight, that Diego Corrales was still urinating blood. Okay, so if that's just him receiving, I don't know if you remember that fight. I mean, it was all like they were fighting like in a telephone booth. That's how tight the fight was. And that's just, we're just talking about him getting hit in the kidneys. Now, could you, if you equate that to getting hit in the head, could you imagine the trauma that these guys are getting?
Absolutely.
Or taking?
Now, ask yourself a question right now, even though I hate to go back to that fiasco yesterday, but do you think with all the body shots that Floyd took, maybe he'll be peeing blood for the next 2 weeks?
Oh, well, I don't
because
doubt
a,
it.
A body
no.
shot.
No,
probably,
no,
maybe.
No,
if it, probably.
Well,
I was
you
scared
know,
many
think...
a times.
Cotto, I don't think Cotto knew how to plan his. He didn't plan his punches hard enough to have that happen.
Exactly.
There's only certain guys that knows how to do that to really make you piss,
right
you know,
into the kidneys. Or
that
times, at times for almost for 2 or 3 days after a fight, I peed blood.
Yeah.
The guy got to me, man, and that freaking hurts. Yeah.
Going back.
If you
want to
talk about head trauma, Harold, just quickly. If you want to talk about head trauma.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about head trauma. There was a wrestler, and I'm sure you all are familiar with it, by the name of Chris the Cripple of Benoit some years ago, okay? Now, the fans don't really know this, you know, too much, but all the wrestlers know it, okay? That basically this guy would get, and I mean this sincerely, I'm not trying to be dramatic, he would get literally between 3, 4, 5 concussions a week.
What?
A week.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is, his finishing move involved climbing to the top rope, okay? Climbing to the top rope and jumping off. And where you usually want to land, you know, with the knee, he would literally dive head first, sort of like a suicide dive, if you will, okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, and you're familiar with it, Dusty, you know what his finishing move was. And he would basically get a concussion. You see his forehead bleeding, not blading, but legitimate forehead bleeding, blood, nose, whatever. And he would do the suicide dive on a nightly basis, okay?
Yeah.
Well, obviously it had some type of true effect on his brain dust because you saw the murder-suicide that he did involving himself and his entire family. And I, you know, I remember telling my dad one day when we were watching Chris work, and I remember saying, "That kid, you know, you're going to hear about him someday. I don't know what it's going to be, Dad, but we're going to hear about Chris, man, because of those suicide dives." Guy gets basically a couple of concussions every week with that. No one talks about it. No one mentions it. The fans are entertained, but, brother, something's going to happen. And I didn't expect this, but sure enough, the rest is history.
Yeah, you know the whole thing. Mel can tell you. Years ago, I had a neck problem. Okay. And when I went to doctors, they didn't know what was wrong with my neck. My neck was completely turned around. It was just completely was turned left. I couldn't move.
Wow.
I mean, it just was in that. But I was in so much pain, and I just tried to do everything to try to get this my neck just turned straight. It didn't turn straight. It just kept going. It turned left, and it was pain, just pain every day, 24/7 pain. I know what those guys going through when they're going through this concussion and this pain. Because if you can't stop the pain, it is something that you really just don't, you get tired of and you want to kill yourself.
When hey, Harold.
Yeah, I'm serious. Dr. Barry Jordan called me up and he said, Harold, I got some doctor friends just started. They got a new injection that can help you out. And they've been using it for the last 6 months. They would like to see. I went to New York Hospital.
That's a great hospital. Great hospital.
Yeah, and the doctor
yeah,
up there said
hospital,
to me, he said, read all this because you got to know all the information. I said, Doc, I ain't got time to read that. I don't give a shit if you kill me. I'm serious. I didn't care if I died.
Right.
I was in so much pain. You know, it's hard to live with something like that.
Right.
Wow.
And I've lived in the death for like 18 months.
Right.
And so.
Wow.
Every day? Every day?
Yeah, every day, 24/7, 18 months. Yeah. I was taking pills. I was drinking cognac. I was just doing everything to get this pain out of my neck.
And how high up was it? Was it like a C3 or C4 or something like that? Or
no, it was something that it had started with people. They don't know where it came from. And my neck was completely turned around. You remember, Mel, when I was walking around with my neck
yep.
and holding
yeah.
it and all that
I
stuff?
Sure do.
Yeah, so
yep.
so when he finally put the injection in my neck and everything, and my neck started turning, and I said,
wow.
Oh, my God. And then it was such a relief in the situation. And at that point, I started understanding why certain people, when they said, I don't want to live no more because I'm going through so much pain, that
absolutely.
Made me look at people much different when they say that word. And because, boy,
yeah.
you do not want to live like that.
Wow.
Exactly.
And I can see what these guys are going through when they said these concussions and their head is hurting and they don't have the pill, you get tired of taking pills and something to
right.
make you sleepy all the time, and you just get nervous about it. You just say, the hell with it. And
you know, Darryl,
well, you know what's crazy?
Hold on, lady,
Ray Lucas had gone through the same thing as well.
Hold on. I remember Tiny Archibald. I'm going into the Southern locker room to say hello to my friend, and as he's walking out, he told the doctor, "What you say? Hey, I'm not taking those pills anymore. I don't want to take any more pills. They're not. They weren't doing the job. I mean, this was my middle school to what you're saying, but it was a situation where the pills just weren't doing it. Did Hoopsa join us yet? Hoopsa?
No, that's Sea Wings. Good
oh,
evening,
okay.
panel, and good
hey,
evening to the Sports and Death Nation
okay, yeah.
there. If
oh,
I
yeah,
may
you,
just interject,
yeah,
real
yeah,
quick.
You got. I know because you're on assignment. Go ahead, Wings.
When you look at the professional athlete as a whole, and when I say professional athlete, I'm more or less the Major League Baseball players, the NBA, professional wrestling and football. These guys they take a lot of wear and tear on their body. I mean, just starting out from wrestlers, they're on the road. And I think Mel can back me up with that, at least between 180 to 220 days a year. I mean,
yeah, the Stars see probably 250 to almost 250 days, 275 easy for the superstars. But please continue, Steve.
I mean, and you see a lot of wrestlers, too, commit suicide, from the pain, the broken bones, broken necks, and so on and so
yeah.
forth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at Joe Namath, his knees.
He replaced with C2.
Absolutely.
Knee replacement.
Absolutely. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you look at basketball players, it's not a big-time contact sport. But these guys are 6'5", 6'7", 7 feet tall. They're running up and down the courts for what? Maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes
a
game?
You look at how many of them for years run up about cement courts. That's what killed a lot of them. I mean, they were young guys with old men's knees. I mean, they've been playing all those years. I mean, your guys were playing on those cement courts, and you're right, then they come into the pros. And in the days of the great Elgin Baylor, didn't have the sort of medical knowledge that they have now. I mean, the big thing in those days was ice, and you bring up. I'll never forget my friend Eric Swan, and Eric Swan said every year the NFL would send a questionnaire around for the players if they wanted to play on grass or astroturf, and the players overwhelmingly, okay, because it is that both grass and they still the astroturf is a killer in itself, is it not, Sea Wings?
I mean, of course, it's hard once you get. You know, those cleats down in there, it's hard, especially when you have someone that's over 300 pounds falling on top of you or running at you at top speed. Look at Mariano Rivera. He caught his cleats between the grass
yeah.
and the warning track.
Mm-hmm.
And look what it did to him. I mean, you even see a lot of NBA players. Baron Davis tonight twisted the knee.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
did
these guys
that?
Are in a lot of pain.
Yeah, but
a
with basketball, it's more the floor. The floor is more like... You know, you always want to play on wood because wood gives. When these guys play on other types of floors, that's when you have a problem.
So,
I mean,
lady,
look at the size of these guys. I mean,
what other types
you know,
of floors
just
are
running itself.
I mean, you know, like they have like you know, like sometimes they play on like these rubberized like courts or they
mm-hmm.
you know or these other kind of courts that you know. And you got guys that play pickup ball and on you know I don't know streets and
yeah.
you know I mean stuff like that is bad for your knees. And a lot of guys start off early on in you know high school whatever playing pickup. On
yeah, right.
you know
right.
on playgrounds, you know
right.
by
the
time
weekend.
You get you know you start playing on you know wood. I mean where you playing organized ball in high school on a wood on wood surface, but a lot of kids early on they playing on the courts.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and that's the point I'm saying. I mean you get an 18-year-old guy. And
yeah,
you got
concrete. Yeah.
Eight-year-old knees already.
On blacktop, you know what I'm saying? Or blacktop, and that's not going to give. That's not good for you. Or they'll play like on these rubberized like kind of courts early on in junior high schools and high schools, and then by the time they're actually playing. Real basketball in college, organized college ball, 18 to 21 years of age, they're finally playing on, like, wood floor. But by then, a good portion of their young knees are shot, you know?
Lady A, could that, you know, and I hear about a lot of guys, and it seems like it's advantageous to them. You hear guys say, well, you know, I didn't start playing basketball to my last year of high school, or I didn't start playing basketball till one day somebody spotted me. You're telling me, That a guy that starts to play the game at a young advanced age, you know, it's advantageous for him because now the guy that starts playing basketball in his last year in high school or plays his first year in college is physically a lot better off than the guy who's been playing since the seventh grade on the bad courts. All that
you
stuff,
know,
right?
I mean, yeah, I don't know if I would make that giant of a statement because, you know, obviously, you know, advantageous, you got to look at everything. You got to look at skills. You got to look at...
I'm just talking about a point from you
physically.
About, yeah, physically, he's got to be
someone is
going to
be more. Yeah, I mean, being conditioned is being conditioned. After a while, wear and tear, no matter what you do, is going to catch up with you in any sport. I mean, you know.
Would you also got to deal with?
And Harold said this before. Let me just say this quickly. Dusty said this before. Harold said this, and it's true, Doc. You know all about the athletes in our panel. You know our panel are experts. Any professional sport that you take up, be it baseball with the pitchers or basketball with the knees or boxing with the punches or wrestling with the slams and the whams, there is a toll
Ooh.
On the body
yes.
and a price to
oh
pay
my
for
God,
that,
yeah.
Okay?
Well, you know, Dusty's still checking his neck from that 90-pound hammer he used to strap around his neck, you know.
And he was only 7 years old when he was doing it, too. Only 7 years old. 7 years old.
But, Doc,
I got
you know
muscles,
what's a, you know what's
I got
a,
muscles
a,
on top of muscles. 18
the neck, said, boy, that kid's got
know,
some neck, ain't he?
But you
and
know
when
what,
he was ugly, he'd have to worry about sticking his neck out. It was already there.
That's right.
But Doc, you know what? What's a good thing? Another point, too, I don't think, too, especially when it comes to football players and boxers, I mean, just by the nature of their sport,
Professor.
You know, football, there's no guaranteed contracts. Boxing, they don't have a union. So it's, I think the suicides, I'm not a professional by any stretch of imagination as far as diagnosing, you know, any type of mental disorders. But I also, they brought up a good point in ESPN earlier this week about how a lot of these athletes and stars, they – have a difficulty adjusting back to normal life after they leave the sport. And I think coupled with the isolation, they don't have that rush of the fame and fortune.
And
you couple that on the pain. Then also you see a lot of divorces, too, after these athletes leave, you know, their profession. You tend to see a high divorce rate, and you put that all into the mix. I mean, depression, pain, isolation. I mean, that can drive any normal man or woman to the brink of self-destruction and ultimately suicide. So I think there's a whole mix of, contributing factors that play a part in a lot of these athletes' suicides.
D-Wing, don't move. Hold it for a minute, D-Wing. Hold on, gang. And everybody.
Folks, I got to leave.
Hold on, we got to take a break, gang.
6 o'clock
appointment. And before everybody takes the break, I want everybody to say
good night to everybody.
Happy birthday to Willie Mays.
Happy birthday,
Willie.
And good night.
Hey, Willie Mays, 8 years old.
Happy birthday, I should say.
And we'll be right back in a minute. Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the Channel Sports Up in the show. It's our Sunday wrap-up, and we are just talking about any and everything that's come up lately. The death of Junior Seau, Mariano Rivera, the serious injuries he's had, and, talking about some basketball, boxing, and Floyd, Pretty Boy Mayweather, still stays undefeated. And the question is, did he really win, or did Miguel Cotto lose? Nobody say a word. We'll be right back in a minute on Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel Sports Up Show. And yes, DocStanleySports.com, that's the site. And it's Smithsonian. We'll see the doc this week.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network. We always take this time out to shout out to Rosie in Rio de Janeiro and Evelini and Natalia over in San Paulo. Going down to Fortaleza. Everybody at Marina Parque and Justino and over at Tabajada. And I've got to remember our police officer buddies, too. I'll mention them a little later on. I want to thank all of them for listening. Going over to Santo Domingo. And our fans over there out into the Holland. Say happy birthday to Mocha Lears. Well, not anymore. But she had a birthday the 1st of May. May Day. May 1st is a big holiday in Brazil. My nephew, I said, there's your boy, Nado. And he always says, well, you know, Pop, everybody takes my birthday off. Other birthdays this month. Yeah, today is the birthday of the greatest all-around baseball player. Ever played the game. We dedicate this show to Willie Mays. 660 home runs. Over 7,000 put outs. Over 3,000 base hits. The first member of the exclusive Double 500, 3,000 hit club. Over 500 doubles, 500 home runs, and 3,000 base hits. Ray Robinson has a birthday this month, too. On the 3rd, Mark Breland celebrates his birthday. Joe Louis, considered by many the greatest heavyweight champ of all time, has a birthday. Today, we say happy birthday also to Looney Cooney. My good buddy, Jerry Cooney, has the same birthday as the great, the incomparable Willie Mays. Brazil, we're going to talk to you again some more later on the show. You know, the World Cup is coming in 2014. Lionel Messi and his team lost Chelsea. Beat them and stopped them from winning the championship 3 out of 4 times. They said Messi was quite upset, considered by many maybe the top player, him and Ronaldo. But the greatest of all time comes from Santos, the one and only Pelé. Fox Stanley Sports up on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network Show. Rosie and Group will be back to Brazil in a minute. And I'm going to talk to everybody here. And first you, C-Wings.
Doc, one more quick thing before you continue. Since you are dedicating birthdays, I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to wish my dad, Mel Smith Sr., a very, very, very happy birthday.
Wait,
his
today?
His birthday will be tomorrow, May 7th. And Dad, to you and the entire Sports and Depth Nation, I want to wish you a very, very, very happy birthday, Dad.
Is he there?
He is.
Cooney. Bring him on the phone. Let everybody say happy birthday to him. Put him on the phone.
All right, Doc. He just happens to be here at the moment, so...
bring him over.
Well,
bring him over.
Of course I will.
The gang was happy birthday to Rudy's dad.
Hello, Doc.
Hey, Mr. Smith, Doc Stanley, Mr. Smith, everybody in the panel, everybody wants to say, everybody's happy birthday to Mr. Smith. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr. Smith.
Hold on, we're going to say happy birthday to you. Everybody, one, two, three. Happy
birthday
to
you.
Happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday, Mr. Smith. Moody's dad.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Mr. Smith.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving us
something
like
this. Very pleased that you guys wished him a happy. Of course, your singing could drive the wolves crazy. But
yeah, you know what? It sounds like jealousy to me. A thought here, and Harold, we're going to go to you after that, and we've got us a good FLF. Looking, and this doesn't condone it, doesn't justify it, but looking at, you know, the lifespan of 3 years, the constant, I mean, Lady A talked about every hit is like been hit by a car 20 times. Hal talked, I remember Hal's neck, and Dusty talked about, well, he had neck problems with his exercises, but the pain he had to go through, he didn't talk about. It doesn't condone, doesn't justify, but you can see how, and I remember Subi Pedrosa talked about it, you can start it. You can see how sometimes this could lead not only to the abuse of pills, but it could lead somebody into cocaine or drugs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cocaine, a life of crime. I mean, it's just such today you don't even see guys playing 20 seasons like Brett Favre or Junior Seau or Jerry Rice. I mean, it's a very, very short career. I mean, such a brutal sport. And with all of the and as a matter of fact, I had my old principal play for the Dallas Cowboys. He had the Super Bowl ring. I forgot which year, but I think in the 70s. And you could see the pain that he goes through. I mean, even as a little kid back in the 80s going to the junior high school, you saw the pain that he was going through. I mean, it's just insurmountable.
When we saw Ray Lucas, remember when we were at the stadium? I was at Jet Stadium, remember? And I was like, Cedric, look how he's walking over to get soda. He looked like he was dying in pain, remember? And
he was limping, and he was messed up.
Yeah, I know.
And see, the wrestlers have a double-edged sword when it comes to that because the pain that you go through, you know, based on what you do, a lot of the guys, you know, would take these painkillers just so they could get, you know, a decent sleep at night so they could go to bed because their bodies are racked with pain. As Harold and all the other productive, all the professional athletes know here, and, of course, the reporters, you know, Lady A and C from having seen these guys, you work in pain as a professional athlete all the time. You work in pain. You're never pain-free, okay? They have as you know, Doc, they have a difference in the pros called the difference between being hurt and being injured. When you're hurt, you got the pain. They either shoot it up, wrap it up, you cope with it however which way you can, okay? When you're injured, you know, you're lazy, you know, it's just broken and they send you home. But you will play hurt basically all the time of your career. There's always some, like the boxers, there's always a hand, there's always a wrist, there's this, there's that. Same thing with pro football and a C-Wing's nose and pro wrestling. So you're never completely pain-free in your work.
I got to say something because you alluded to boxes. I meant to ask Harold. Hey, Harold, after you guys would after a fight when you would do your post press conferences back in the day, you know how like after you guys the fight's over you go to see the doctor and I guess they would like stitch you up. How did you deal with that? With trying to talk to these people standing there and you're bleeding all over the place, you know, and you're like you're trying to be like cool about it, but you got these like people throwing a microphone in your face.
No, they don't. They didn't do it like that. I mean, back in our day, they let you get patched up or whatever you had to do over at the hospital. We didn't have those press conferences after the fight. The newspaper people were coming to our dressing room.
That's what I liked about it. After the fight, I could go in Howell's dressing room, and Howell never looked. He'll never be.
Well, the setup was a little different back then, right?
It was more right there.
It was one on one. I mean, you knew the fighter. He knew you. Hey, how you? And he may say, "Hey, I'm gonna take a shower. I gotta be out." Or I'd come in there and Dick Young and Phil Pepe and Howie Evans, you know. And sometimes we just wanted a quick question. Hey, Harold, did you feel all right tonight? Tonight you're doing a lot of jabs. You know, how did you? Yeah, well, okay, take it, Harold. And we get back out to the next fight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would happen, Howie would shower and he would come to the ringside anyway with us.
What'd you say, Harold?
Newspaper guys had different questions anyway when they came to. So it was pretty much one-on-one with each newspaper guy.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
That was more of like what we did back then, those days.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if you got cut and everything, I mean, the guys knew how to stop the bleeding and everything, so you wouldn't be bleeding. And then the doctor will come in there, and then he'll sew you up. And then, you go home, get some pills, and the next day you go to the doctor, and he fix you up again.
Hey, who do you think is the best guy? The best cut guy out there, because I see that a lot, like with boxing now. It doesn't seem like they're able to, you know, cut, like when these guys get cut, you're not even able to stop the bleeding. Sometimes they're sitting in the ring talking to Larry Merchant, and they're still bleeding.
Well, two guys I see, but they're old timers. The guy from Mexico and Jimmy Glenn. I mean, they're about the two best cut men out there.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the other guys, they're like a joke and everything.
You mean like Rafael Garcia from Mexico? Rafael Garcia?
It's a little old guy.
Yeah, Garcia.
Is that the guy that Mayweather had last night?
Yeah, that little old man.
Rafael Garcia, he's 83 years old. Yeah, yeah.
He's a great cut, man. But, and they got old methods and everything. I mean, they can stop a cut real quickly and then get the blood stop flowing. But these guys today, they just don't know what to do. They wipe it off and then they'll just throw, you know, some grease on it. And that's not the way you do it. You got to put pressure on it and everything. They don't know how to do all that. And so, you know, that's the time I feel sorry for a lot of these kids today, because of the fact that they got people that's incompetent to be trainers and cut men and a whole lot of things that they haven't. They come here and they say, okay, you need to pick up weights and these guys got strengthening coach, they got diet people, they got conditioning people sitting back and meditating and then they got the managers, and then they got the trainer. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, these guys in shape. And we were in better shape than they are today.
And
they didn't have nutritionists back then either, Doc.
Right.
Yeah, well, not only that, didn't have nutritionists, right? It reminds me of professional basketball coaches. I remember Casey Jones back in 1971 was the first ever assistant coach. Bill Sharman got him with the Utah Stars. In the old days, you just had one coach. Like somebody said, it was Red Holtzman and Danny Whalen and Frankie Batcher. Now you got about five assistant coaches. You know,
right.
I mean, the coaches take up half the bench when the players come. I mean,
yeah,
just,
that's the truth. And
you know, it's crazy.
It's so funny watching all these guys train today. And they got all these people that's supposed to be, he's this, he's that, and everything. And these guys still cannot go 12 rounds or 10 rounds. And I thank God for my father in my life, me being his son, and Gil Clancy and the people that was with me. These men did not have to go no books. They already knew what they were going to tell me, how to train and do 15 rounds. And do 15 rounds good. Where I went partying right after I had the 15-round fight. Griffin would have parties right after he did 15 rounds and dance all night long, okay? That's what kind of shape we were in.
Cut from a different
You know, it's funny, Doc. You know, I just read an article that said that Timothy Bradley is like a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's, like, for his fights, he doesn't eat, like, protein or anything like that, you know, for his fights, like meat. Like, I'm like, how do you like, fight and you're not eating protein? Like,
well, that's ridiculous.
Like, beef, like, anything like that. I'm like, you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one thing we did that. But, you know, hey, they got a new system today. You know, the older guys are gone, so now you got this new group, and they're writing their own little books, and they're doing their own videos. And if you don't know, then, you know, you're going to follow the routine. That's what's happening today, and that's what's happening. So, you know, I look at it and laugh.
Let me ask you something, Harold. The day of a fight, Harold, especially a title fight, a big fight, and you've been in many of those big, huge fights, the wrestlers have their own, you know, their own eating methods. I guess it kind of varies from person to person. I guess it's the same in boxing, but Harold, what would be a typical pre-fight meal, Harold, on the day of like a big super fight? You know, you and the Hearns, you and the Quavers. What would you eat like in the morning and afternoon, like for lunch hour before the Rumble?
Well, you know what's so funny about that? See, these guys, you know, they weigh in day before the fight, right? I mean, day before the fight. We weighed in the day of the fight, okay? So basically, we didn't have nothing to eat that morning because we had to weigh in that morning. But, you know, mostly it would be, you know, like for me, it would be like two boiled eggs, all right, and some toast, and maybe, you know, a glass of grapefruit juice or you know, some water or something like that, or some hot tea, whatever. And then I'll do that, and then I wouldn't have nothing. If I have anything that afternoon, I'll have a fruit or apple or something like that. And I wouldn't
before
have nothing later that night.
You mean before the fight, Harold? You would have
before
just an apple
fight,
or something?
Yeah, before the fight, I have an apple or something like that. And then about 3 o'clock, 2 to 3 o'clock, Gil will come and get me. And we'll go, I'll have my last, it sounds so crazy, you have your last supper.
Oh, no. Wow.
Last supper.
What would it be, Harold?
I mean, you know, you have anything you want. Then you have mostly it would be like a steak, or baked potatoes,
mm-hmm.
and or some vegetables, salad. I know it's a salad. A steak is it be a steak or a prime rib, and some vegetables. Okay, I didn't like potatoes, so I never ate that. And then you have your water, or you have some juice. And that'll be it. And then you have some hot tea. And then you take a walk. And then you go back to your room. And then around about 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, they'll come and get you. And then you'll be over at the arena before the first fight starts. Because they could not start the first fight until the main event guys got into the arena.
Really?
Why? Why?
Because the main event was the one that everybody came to see, and they had to make sure everybody showed up because that they didn't have to give the tickets back and all that, and they don't
want
to throw the parties on.
Man, you learn something every day. Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow, so the channel Sports Up show. This show is dedicated to Willie Mays. Today's his birthday, the great one, 81 years old today, 1954 MVP and batting champion, 1965 MVP, the only man to win the MVP in 11 years difference, home run champion 4 times, RBI champion 3 times, hit leader once, 4 years in a row, led the league in stolen bases, number 24, considered by many, actually the greatest all-around baseball player that ever played, Willie Howard Mays. Happy birthday. Jerry Cooney celebrates a birthday today also. C-Wings.
Oh, let me say this. And
go
the
ahead,
reason
Harold.
Why we had such things like that so that toxin can flow out of our system before we go to the fight and everything, so you ain't got to go to the bathroom. Now, you got to go to the bathroom for a while, but they make sure that you don't have too much to drink, so that all that stuff can come out of your system so you don't have to go to the bathroom when fight time comes. Because when you fight at about 10 o'clock, because everybody fights at 10 o'clock, the main event always goes on at 10 o'clock, that, you know, your system should be cleared by that time.
Really?
And when you get hit in your stomach, you ain't going to throw all that stuff up.
But, Harold, could I ask you a question? Yesterday's fight, I found Cotto's actions to be a little odd at the end. He didn't stick around in the ring for any post-fight interviews, nor in his locker room did he offer any post-fight interviews. Do you think he might have been in that much pain?
No, he was mad. He thought he won the fight.
Wow.
He was mad. He thought he did enough that he thought he should at least got a draw, but he was mad. He was mad.
You know, Harold, that statement you made earlier was something very profound. You said that Cotto should have, in essence, if Mayweather didn't bust him up in a round, Cotto, in essence, should have been given those rounds.
Right. And what I was saying is that Mayweather, as this so-called being such a superior fighter, he should win his rounds completely. You should know he won his rounds clearly. I'm saying that any round that was close, and there was quite a few rounds that were close.
A lot.
You give it to Cotto. But in that state, of course, the round was close, they gave it to Mayweather. Because that scoring that they had, that fight was much closer than what the judges gave.
I think we had 118-110 and 117-112 with the scores.
Judges had 117-110.
Was it 110 or 111?
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was much closer than that. Mm-hmm.
With the fight, I definitely think Cotto, Mayweather really worked for his purse yesterday. I mean, he worked hard, but Cotto stuck in there. But I don't know if anyone noticed around the 7th, 8th round, he really started breathing pretty heavily. Did anyone notice that?
No.
Yeah, I agree. I think he did start breathing heavily. I mean, you know, when you've been off as long as those guys been off for out of a competitive fight, that's why I have a problem with these fighters today. They don't fight as regular as we did. I mean, if I had an important fight come up, I would always try to find a warm up fight, and it never was a warm up. I call it warm up fight, you know, because we thought we knew how to fight, but the guys we fought was like 20-1, 20-2, and we call those warm up fights. Griffin fought Hurricane Carter.
Yeah.
For a warm-up fight before he got knocked out. He was getting ready to defend his title, and he picked Reuben Hurricane Carter to fight for a warm-up fight before he fought for his championship fight. And he got knocked out in one round.
You know, Doc,
I
was just looking at the percentage. You know how they give the final punch-stat numbers? And they're saying the difference between Cotto and Mayweather in a punch-stat, you know, just percentages by landing.
Mm-hmm.
Was 26% to 34%. So the fight was a lot closer, like Harold was saying, than what the scores dictate. I mean, they had two refs that gave it 117-111 and one that gave it 118-110. It was a lot closer than what they had it. So
The bottom line is he won the fight.
Right.
Might have been closer, everything. I mean, he won. Is he in the same class as we named the fighter for him? No. But,
no.
I mean, last night he won. Right now, he's the best there is that they have out there.
May I say this, Doc, just quickly
to prove
it
better.
May I say this, Doc? Hmm. Right now, the average fan, and a lot of this speak for the average fan, because I'm not just a journalist, but a fan, always have been, okay? The average fan now wants to see only one Rumble, okay? This Rumble they've been wanting to see for 2 years, and everyone knows what it is. We don't want anyone else fighting as good as I guess Cotto's the best guy he could fight until, you know, the super fight. We have discussed this over and over again.
And the reason why that fight hasn't happened is very simple.
Fans are sick of talking about it, Doc. There's only
if you're going to present that issue, then we have to say, well, why hasn't it happened?
Okay, the fans aren't interested in why it hasn't happened.
Oh, yes,
they
are
interested. The only ones that know is that they
want
it to happen.
Okay,
there's
two schools. First of all, we ain't fans, okay? So when you ask the question and we answer it, we ain't fans. You're speaking for the fans, okay? And that's the problem with fans, because fans are fanatics. And a lot of times, fans being fanatics are crazy.
Also, Doc,
okay.
just to add this, just to inject this into the conversation. And I'd be intrigued to find out what Howard thinks about this is, you know, when you look at it, Mayweather had problems with Cotto yesterday. Cotto was knocked down by Pacquiao, and Pacquiao beat him with authority. So now the argument is made, just like Howard said, is Mayweather really all that great, and what will we see if the two of them eventually do end up clashing?
Hold on. Okay, back up. There's two schools of thought. First of all, we're not saying that Mayweather is all that great. And then we're saying styles make fights, okay? And then we're saying who's to say that Pacquiao would fight him the way that Cotto's the first guy, what everybody's saying, that finally took it to him. Okay?
Yeah, but Pacquiao is a southpaw. And Mayweather has had problems in the past fighting southpaws. Look what happened with Judah. He's had problems before fighting southpaws.
Yeah, but he beat Zab, except that Zab
right, but
is crazy. You know, I mean, I think Zab on any given night is just as good as anybody else out there. Okay, including Pacquiao. You know, when Zab has it all the good, except it just seems that the question of Zab, according to my good buddy Mark Breland, is a question of heart. But as far as talent, Zab is just as talented or better than anybody out there. So when it comes to fighting the southpaw, as far as I'm concerned, he's fought just as good or better southpaw than Pacquiao. And, you know, I'm not saying this boy is the greatest thing since sliced bread, he's not. But what I'm saying is he's still got an O, and right now he's the best out there. Maybe we're not talking about a lot full of Jaguars and Mercedes Benz, but he's the best Ford out there right now.
But you know what?
I can have all the
O's
too if I'm fighting in my hometown and I got all the judges on my side.
Preach it, Howard.
Listen. I got to do with all that. The boy won the fight.
Well,
I don't know if the judge is on his side. And I'm not saying
the
bottom line,
Howard,
is that he's won. I mean, that's all. He's still O. His O hasn't gone. And what you're telling me, and what Dusty told me, as the boy had the opportunity to do it, and he didn't do it. So the weight's on him. It was there. It reminds me of Carl Truth Williams. Carl's fighting Larry Holmes, and he lets it get away. He said, I saw old man on the other side. Well, then why didn't you beat the old man? Okay, so if Cotto saw it, why didn't he take it? He didn't take it. He let him get away. That's in the conversation.
Well, you can't take it, Judge. You can't take it if you got three judges against.
No. It was there for Cotto. It, just like Joe Louis said, when I come into the ring, I bring my Harold.
Got one thing. Joe can punch. Cotto
is not
Joe Louis. My point
is. What you're telling
you
me is that Cotto had the opportunity,
judge,
though, Harold. You're telling me it was there and the boy didn't take it.
But so did Mayweather, and Mayweather didn't knock him out.
I'm saying this.
I don't care if Mayweather knocks him out.
Cotto will win, but he will not get the decision. For one thing, I know how Vegas is.
Yeah, well,
we
can say the same thing with Marquez and Pacquiao. You know, everybody knows if you fight Pacquiao, if you fight Mayweather, you're not going to get the decision. I mean, that's common knowledge. You knew when you went to Puerto Rico, Harold, that you were not going to get the decision.
You knew you were going to get it.
Yeah, you know it. I mean, if you fought Hagler in Vegas for a while, you weren't going to get a decision. If you fought Ray Leonard, you know you weren't going to get the decision.
Right.
So, I mean,
so
this boy is no different.
My point is, you know what's so good about life and just good about the situation? Regardless of what those judges did, when I see your behind later on, you know I whip your behind.
Mm-hmm.
And under those circumstances, everything else don't mean nothing, knowing that me and you know who really won. That's the gratification. Regardless of what happens, that's what's the most important thing with me.
Yeah, well, as long as you got the inner satisfaction. But like I'm saying, you know, that's the politics of the game. Certain guys reach a certain status, the Haglers, the Leonards, the Benitas, the Mayweathers, the Pacquiao's. Hey, there's a time when you ran the garden too, Hal. If you didn't beat Hal,
you a good point, and I'm gonna leave you alone.
What, Hal?
Tommy Hearns fight Ray Leonard, robbed him two times, boxed him to death, and they call it a draw. I'm gonna leave it like that.
Hey, Harold.
I ain't gonna say no more. I'm leaving it alone. I'm gonna leave it. You're right, Doc. You're right. As long as he got the O, he's all right. He's good.
I'm not saying he got the O. I'm trying to say that what you're telling me is what we know, Harold.
If you're certain, they're going
to get the decision.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
if you're not going there with a Uzi.
Man two times, mm-hmm. beat the dog at him, but you call it a draw.
Call it a draw.
Hey, Doc,
Hal, it's funny that you should mention that, Hal, because just quickly, Doc, it's funny you should mention that, Hal, being a former promoter at the Garden, first African-American matchmaker, and again,
the only one.
To you and your
right.
skills.
Right.
You know, so Hal, I remember being at the Garden once. As a regular fan, not a journalist, I saw Bruce Curry drop Wilfred Benitez three times over 15 rounds
and not get the Duke, Harold. Right.
I'm leave you with two thoughts. One of my closest friends always uses this line: sad and touching. Hey, Harold. Sad and touching.
And listen, I'm
going to use a quote that from a gentleman we both work for, only in America.
how devastating is it, Al, being a premier fighter? How devastating is it? How much does a fighter take it to heart, Al, to know that he beat a guy like Bruce Curry did, drops a guy three times over 15, and doesn't get the Duke? Can guys come back from that, Al? Does that devastate a guy for life? What does it do?
It hurts for that moment. But you know what? You know, it's just like, you know, you just got to get over it and just move on. But it really hurts. I mean, I knew what was happening to me when I fought Benitez in Puerto Rico.
I was
already told, if you don't knock him out or beat him to death out of 15 rounds, you're not going to get the decision. I was already told that. All right? So I knew. In the situation, I knew I beat Benitez in Puerto Rico, but the fact is that I knew everything was already rigged. Okay, I mean, I know I beat Benitez in Madison Square Garden, but I knew what the deal was. All right, he was a new star on the rise, and they didn't want him to lose. But at the same time, you know, when you go through these things, as long as I know I can walk on this earth and knowing that what I accomplished and who I done fought and who I done beat and everything else. There's nothing else that matters from that point on. Because all you can do when people take those decisions from you, like Curry got with Benitez and all, and other fighters got raw, you just got to take one and say, hey, man, I gave it all, but you know what? God knows what the whole thing is all about. And leave it like it is.
I also think...
Hold on. Go, lady.
No, I was going to say, I also think that when you look at fights like we saw yesterday, I mean, it's that more of a chance that I think you could say, like, sometimes they look ahead and they're like, oh, maybe he'll fight him again. Maybe there'll be a sequel. I don't think there's going to be a sequel of this. I don't think he's going to leave the door open for Cotto to fight him again. And if anything, I think Cotto might be bowing out. I don't really see him sticking around much longer.
Why? No, because if he wanted to fight him again, he would have, as brave as he think he is, he did like Muhammad Ali. When Muhammad Ali said, I will give him return match. I will fight him again. I want to fight that. He would have said that. He didn't say nothing like that. All he did was apologize.
Yep. I don't really see that being a second.
He just wanted to apologize.
I do think to some degree, I think Cotto might be looking to exit, you know, stage left. I don't really see him sticking around much longer.
Well, he got $8.5 million the other day, lady. He got $8.5 million, so.
What happened? What'd you say?
You know, Cotto didn't embarrass himself. He can fight the other kid that won, that beat Shane Moore.
Oh, Alvarez.
Alvarez?
Yeah. Right.
You know what?
Alvarez is a rising star.
Right.
You know what? Alvarez, is he with Top Rank or Golden Boy?
I think he's with Golden Boy.
Is Golden Boy?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so then... Okay.
See, but I was hearing that Alvarez was going to fight Chavez next because Chavez is scheduled to fight Martinez.
That's like picking your poison.
Right.
Chavez, why would he fight Chavez? He's 154, Chavez 160.
Well, they said that, you know, for that whole Mexico, you know,
Alvarez has got, he's got enough company down there at 154, believe me. He's got quite a few 154 pounders. That will give him, it will entertain him for a while.
I would like to see him fight. I would like to see him fight Sergio Martinez. I think that would be a good fight for him.
Who, Chavez?
Alvarez. Alvarez, yeah.
Well, you know, the problem with that is he's probably not going to come to 160 for the next couple of years. And maybe Martinez may be gone by then.
No, Martinez said he's a 54-pounder. He just move up because he couldn't get no fight at 154.
Who's that?
Martinez?
Yeah.
He really?
The only reason why he's fighting 160 because nobody will fight him. And so,
then he can come down and fight both of them. He can come down and fight both of them.
That would be a good fight.
Would he be? Hold on, gang. Wait a minute. I got to go in. Hold on. Don't nobody move. Doc Stanley, Sports Enough on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel. Sports Enough for the show. The crew is here. The first and only African-American matchmaker in the history of Madison Square Garden, Harold Weston Jr. And C-Wings has joined us early. He's back into the studio. This is Dusty. Dusty's back in there looking at it. He's going back looking at that tape again from that fight. It's only going to make him even madder. I don't know why he's going back in and look at it, though. But he's back and watching the tape. The legendary Lady A, First Lady of Sports here, as the other two legends, Harold Weston Jr. and Rooney. And once again, happy birthday tomorrow. It's his father's birthday. Speaking of birthday, let's do Mary again real quick. Let me grab my calendar here. You know, today is the birthday of the greatest baseball player that will ever live. Born on the Confu. Willie Howard Mays has a birthday today. And on the 3rd, it was considered by many the greatest writer pound for pound ever, Sugar Ray Robinson. Walker Smith Jr. had a birthday on the 3rd. And as the month plays out, the 11th will be Mark Breland, 110-1, the greatest amateur fighter of all time. And my good buddy over at the Cotton Club, the legendary Cotton Club, my good friend John Beattie, celebrates his birthday on the 12th. The Brown Bomber and Stevie Wonder both celebrate birthdays on the 13th of this month. And it's happy birthday to the late, great Arthur Russ Jr.'s grandson, Julian Russ. He celebrates his birthday on the 15th. The 19th of this month is the birthday of the late, great Malcolm X. Mike Bellamy, BCAP Sports, celebrates his birthday the 21st, as well as Jamie Harris, the 22nd, from the Amsterdam News, with Lou DiBella and Ray Leonard. Ray Charles Leonard celebrates birthdays on the 17th of this month. Aaron Harris, PR man for the Nets, now going to New Jersey. He celebrates one on the 18th. Rod Thorn, he used to be the VP over there. And the first he was assistant coach of the first New York Net team to ever win a world championship. This is on the 24th. And the legendary Bill Robinson on the 25th. Pete Michaels, my good buddy, is on the 26th. And once again, today is the birthday of the greatest baseball player that ever lived. Willie Mays, the 3rd. The 2nd, my good friend Sylvia in São Paulo. Moco Lewis and Nito on the 1st. My nephew on the 1st of this month. But today, we say happy birthday to Jerry Cooney and Willie Mays. Willie Mays is 81 years old today. Wow. And we want to go out to Brazil one time. Got to go over there to Fortaleza. You know, I got to do a story on these two gentlemen. Alberto Rangel, he's a SEAL. And does a tremendous job. Some master at that. Of a special art of sort of jiu-jitsu, karate. And also another Alberto Rangel. Alberto wanted to say hello to both those guys. Alberto and his guy, he's got like 4 kids. And his lovely wife, Maria, and Sousa. So we want to say hi to them. I got to do a piece on that. That's what I had to story for them. Once again, Alberto Rango, me, Mao, and Alberto Rango, and also his head man. And saying hi to Brazil, you know the World Cup will be played in Brazil in 2014. And they get the Olympics in 2016. So Brazil is going to be jumping. It'll be held in Rio. Actually, you know, we say, Americans say Rio de Janeiro, and it's Rio de Janeiro. And the top 5 cities will host the World Cup. They'll be Rio de Janeiro, São Paulo, Recife, and Fortaleza, as well as Salvador, which hosts the first capital of Brazil. Hello to Rosie, who's there out there listening to us every week right here live on Sports and Depth from Rio de Janeiro. And my other two friends, Evelini and Natalia over in San Paulo, down there. Today's show, Costa Márcio Jr., international world promoter. Happy birthday to his son, Nito. He's in Fortaleza along with Steve Glazer. Steve Glazer told me a amazing story. I first met Steve, we were sitting in Fortaleza. And he said, Doc, you know, I'm going to tell you something. He said, one day as a kid, I'm playing in the schoolyard, and this car pulls up, and two blondes get out. And one guy is teaching us how to pitch, and one guy is teaching us how to hit. And they get in the car, and they left. He said, and then it hit me a little while later. It was Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford, two of the greatest baseball players and greatest Yankees of all time, both first ballot Hall of Famers. And once again, we'll
shout to Brazil one more time. But let's get back inside Sports Box. Sports to Depth. Love the sports doctor, Larry Hardis. He's great, his tagline. And we want to, once again, talk some baseball, talk some basketball. Rooney, it seems like your Knicks, for all intents and purposes, are gone.
Oh, yeah, Doc. They put up a somewhat last stand today. You know, they broke that playoff, that losing of streak of consecutive playoff games without a win. So, in that sense, they stopped that streak. They saved a little face by not getting swept on their home floor. But for all intents and purposes, Doc, this series is over. They're going to lose to the better team, which Miami is. You know, they can always fall back with the, you know, the injuries to, you know, some of their key people and Lynn, the other. But the fact of the matter is, Doc, that they are going to lose this series to a better team. The fact of the matter is, in my opinion, that they basically played uninspired basketball. They are not a cerebral team as far as smarts are concerned. When it comes up, they do dumb things on the court, Doc. I'm not trying to be overly critical, but just my opinion. They're not the most cerebral team that I've ever seen. They commit a lot of ticky-tack dumb fouls. They don't take care of the basketball. They don't play smart basketball. Okay. The fact of the matter is that, for the most part, they've played uninspired basketball, boring basketball. As I said today, they played a little, they saved a bit of face, played a, I guess it's a somewhat decent game. But basically, for the most part in the series, they've been outclassed.
Could they? I mean, in winning today, what was the difference in winning today that they couldn't do on Thursday? I mean, they win their game Thursday, you got a series.
That's the thing, Doc. If they'd have won that game, then this would be, you know, so much more meaningful, this 2-point win today. But this basically is just going to be, since they're down 3-1 now, but it's window dressing. You know, okay, so you save the embarrassment of getting swept on your home court. You stopped that, what, crazy, like 14 straight playoff games?
Yeah,
that
it was 13, so you stopped at 13.
Yeah, so you stopped that streak. Okay, fine. But it's basically window dressing, Doc. In my opinion, this series has none of the flavor and highly anticipated that the Knicks would be a much tougher out than they're going to be, and that's going to turn out to not be the case.
Well, yeah, but Rooney, you have to look back. They lost Lynn. They lost Stoudemire. I mean, so, you know, they've been shorthanded.
My thing is, I'm not talking about that they lost. I mean, they'll lose to a better club, and I realize that they have injuries. But it's like a fighter, Doc, okay, that's just showing up. And Al can speak on this. I'm sure he's seen guys there. It's like a fighter who's showing up, and he would have a chance to win if he gave it his all and fought a smart fight. But he's basically like, you know, if I lose, I lose. I'm showing up for the payday. You know, for the most part, as far as I'm concerned, and the panel can feel free to disagree, of course, but for the most part, outside of this game, they played pretty uninspired basketball, in my opinion.
I agree 100%. They look terrible to me. They were just lucky today. That's all it was. You know, they stay around. They don't move around enough and move that ball enough and Carmelo, he just grabs the ball and he just looks to shoot. I mean, it's like they're not a team. They don't have it together. Miami tonight, you can see everybody was in place. When that ball was moving with these guys was always in place, ready to go and get the ball and move it around and to take the open man to shoot. But New York, they're not even in Miami's league. You can see that. They're going to get blown out in Miami this week.
Then don't go below. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake with the Rainbow Solo Channel. Sports Depth of the show. You've heard it all. Mayweather and Cotto. Mariano Rivera. The death of Junior Seau and football. And it's sort of intensive mindset and susceptible to injuries. And also the New York Knicks winning today, winning a championship game, stopping their streak of continuous losses, and now on to Miami. And you just wonder what could have happened had they played some better basketball, had they not been injured. Maybe it's a 2-2 series with a chance to go to Miami and win one and come back. Looking at the Lady A, people saying it looks like it may wind up in the East once again. The Rose is gone, and wow, you see how valuable this guy is to his team. My goodness, he no doubt was the MVP last year, and now they're looking, talking that we'll probably see Miami and the Boston Celtics for the championship. Lady A.
Yeah.
So what do you think? I mean, you agree? I mean, right now, because the Pacers, they're going to wind up, I think they're going to wind up playing Miami. Am I correct? How does that work out?
They might draw. I think they might end up drawing them.
Miami, and then Chicago wind up playing, or Chicago, Miami.
I think it might be Chicago, Miami. I think it
might be. You know, you look at that team, and you see how valuable Rose is to that.
Oh, it's crazy.
What a different team, man. I mean, he's to that. As you see it today, he's worth to that team even more than what Jordan was to the old Bulls. I mean, the old Bulls, at least you had Scotty and you had Cartwright, you had BJ, you had Horace Grant. But, I mean, he just so much reminds you of just what such an integral part, inspiration and play-wise for that team. It's a whole different basketball team. I want to say hello and congratulations to my good friend Dr. J, who's been appointed assistant to the CEO of the 76ers, and he's back in Philly as he was there some years ago at a special capacity, and then new ownership came in, and somehow they had no room for Dr. J. He was down in Orlando for a while, but the great one, Julius Dr. J, the only man, actually only one of two men to ever win championships in both the NBA and the ABA, and he is the only man to ever win the MVP in both the NBA and the ABA. Julius Winfield Irving from out at Hempstead, Long Island. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth for the show. All right, we've got Bradley and Pacquiao. We've had Hopkins and Dawson. Dawson won that. Cotto and Mayweather. Mayweather won that. Lady A, Pacquiao beats Bradley.
Yeah, but I don't think that Bradley's a pushover. I don't think Bradley's a pushover by no means. At all.
Harold?
I like Bradley. I think Bradley is going. You mean Bradley and Manny Pacquiao? I like Manny. I like Manny Pacquiao. I mean, Bradley's gonna make Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I said. Yep.
Because he's gonna try so hard, but he's just too wide open and everything. You know? He's on a different stage now, so I think Manny's going to stop him, to tell you the truth.
Mel Kosa.
It's going to be good while it lasts, Doc. I agree with Howard and the fact that, you know, this is the biggest stage that Bradley will be seeing. This is his biggest fight, and I think it's actually going to be a good one. I think he's going to come all out to try to prove a point that he belongs in the big time, that he belongs there. And quite frankly, I think it's going to be a pretty good rumble. I don't think that he's going to get the Duke. I don't think he's going to win it. But I think that he's coming to fight. He's coming to try to prove something. He's trying to show that he belongs. He's going to try to show Pacquiao that he belongs. And even though Pacquiao wins the fight and gets the Duke, it's not going to be as easy as folks think.
No, it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a good little fight.
When the smoke clears, Bradley loses. The question is, and I think you already know the answer, it's not going to make any difference. We're not going to see Mayweather talking about wanting to do the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. Lady A, is it going to happen?
I don't know. I've said it before. I see the window, like, closing on that. You know, I mean, the light is still there because Mayweather's saying he's going to retire when he's about 37, 38, but, you know, I see the window, like, starting to close on that deal, you know? At the end of the fight yesterday, he alluded to the fact that, you know, we should make it happen. He said, you know, just have him come to the table, but I don't know. I don't know what it is with Aram. I really just hope it just goes through because that's what everybody wants to see.
Aram?
What it is the meal ticket. And when you're doing a million by. You don't need nobody else.
Right.
You keep on doing what you're doing. So that's the whole thing. Aram's career is ended with Manny Pacquiao goes. Okay. He's finished. I mean, Don is still around. I don't even know why Don is around, but Don is just being around because he ain't got nobody.
Yeah, hold on, Harold. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth, Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Depth is the show. Live your life today and stand before God tomorrow. Life's most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service others? And make you pay for your space on Earth. Larry Hardesty.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
And just killing a few minutes after. So, what you're saying is this is Adam Swan's song. Pacquiao is it, and he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. He'll keep his company. He'll leave a little money in there for his stepson to do his little, you know, boxing situation. And when that little money runs out, then he's gone too. But this Aram is out of here when Pacquiao leaves. And this is the only good meal ticket that Aram's had in a long time. So he's finished after Manny Pacquiao retired. He don't want to go through the hassle no more. Aram's in his 80s. Don is in his 80s. I mean, you know, what else you want? What can you do?
But it's no question both of them are financially set.
Yeah, no question. They have no problem with that part. It's just basically just doing something on a high scale. And see, Aram wants to stay on that platform and say, I left on a high scale. And that's what it is. As long as Manny keeps fighting and winning and doing his million buys, Aram is going to be around. And as soon as Manny said, Aram, this is it, I'm finished, I'm going to go and just go back to the Philippines, Aram is gone. He's finished. His company might be around for his stepson, like I said, but it's not going to be in that market like you're seeing now.
Melco Cell?
Well, that kind of view of what Al said. This is like his golden goose right here, and I think it'll also be his swan song. Like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing this rumble with with Bradley. It's gonna be good. I think he's gonna try to press Pacquiao, and like I said, it's gonna be good. You know, it's funny that we're actually gonna have two. I believe that's pay per view, is it not?
Yeah. You hold on a second, Rooney. You know, I've got a Skype. You know, Lady A, your fans even reaching to Brazil. My good friend Rosie, she says, it's liver's going to be in Rio de Janeiro. And she says, you know, she agrees last night the guy should be examined. I agree with Lady A about the school, you know, being a condition in sports. She always loves when we play the girl from Ipanema. In Portuguese, that's the Garota de Ipanema. It's the girl from Ipanema. And she says, we were singing happy birthday to Mr. Smith, who is Mel Smith's father. That's who the song was singing to. So that's why she said she didn't understand. And his name is Mr. Smith, who is the father of Mel Smith Jr., and he is Mel Smith Sr. And we were saying happy birthday to Décio Cotamacho's son, Nito, who's in São Paulo. I always call him my nephew. So that was... She's getting this little quick one there from Brazil. And she's live in Brazil. She's listening to us live from Brazil. And we thank everybody from around the world that takes time out to listen to Sports in Depth here on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Show, the channel Sports in Depth for the show. DocStanleySports.com. We wanted to talk more about it. It's my site here. And this Tuesday, the Smithsonian. People can come in and take a little look. And so we want to thank all you for listening in, and wherever you may be, we really appreciate it here, and we want to always thank Rosie and her family for all listening to us. They're dedicated listeners, and like I said, DocStanleySports.com is the site. Take a look. This Tuesday, Smithsonian will be invading the Doc Stanley Trust and God Sports Network Hall of Fame. We'll keep you abreast of how that came out. On our forthcoming show this coming next Sunday, we're looking forward to maybe getting Leonard Ellerbe in here to talk with us. We want to also finally get Melvana Layton, the first lady and first female
commissioner. How is she the first female ever to be head of the box commission in New York? Right?
Who's that?
Melvina. She's the first female ever,
yeah,
right?
She's the first female, yeah.
The first, so I'll just double the first female and first African-American female. A lot of pride there. So we're trying to get her down the line. And also,
now,
we want
to ask you how the lady A before we go. Pardon me for interjecting. But, you know, I think it's time for a doc, how Lady A, and I want to know what just your feelings on quickly. Is it time for, we have a woman judge in Melvina Lincoln who's actually judged some of the fights that I've been at. Doc.
Mm-hmm.
How, Lady A, woman referee inside the squared circle. Are we ready?
Oh, yeah, they're going to have that. They had that already. They tried it before.
I went to a fight with Yorkis Gamboa in Atlantic City. They had already had a...
Really?
They had a female, yeah, Yorkis Gamboa fight. They had a couple of fights prior to the main event.
Uh-huh.
And,
you know what? You know, yeah,
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 her name
right.
is her name
yeah.
is Sparkle Lee.
You know,
yeah,
we got to try to get her.
One of those sisters... Back in my time, when I was matchmaking, there was we tried a woman referee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in there, and she did it. She did it for a couple of shows and stuff like that. But they're gonna have. I mean, women can do anything they want in this world today. So you know, they say they want to do it and they want to be in a man's world. They're gonna be.
As a big time matchmaker and former fighter. You wouldn't have any trepidation in having a woman in a squared circle weapon.
I mean, my thing is I don't want to be fighting with them. So, you know, ain't no sense of arguing. They always going to win the argument, so you just leave it alone. They want to be there, they're going to be there.
Was that Billy Paul said, let him in. Open up the door and let him in. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth for the show. The Big Plunge. Live your life today as you have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for the service of others? Is it what you pay for your space on earth? The Son of Man came to serve and not be served. We close out by saying happy birthday to Mr. Mel Smith Sr. and also to a man who was a junior himself, but he was a junior to nobody in the game of baseball, the one and only, the incomparable, Willie Howard Mays. Gang, we'll be back here next week. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody and let Larry Hardesty one more time tell us goodnight here on this minor section of Sports and Depth. Mic on, lights off. We wrapped it all up today. Cotto and Mayweather last night. We've got Bradley and Pacquiao coming. We also talked about the death of Junior Seau and the rigors and deterioration of one's body in the game of football. The Knicks live to play another day, and it won't be two more days left for them to go down to Miami, down 1-3. And the Rangers are doing quite well in their playoff existence. We'll have it all for you next week. Always kudos to our CEO, Neil Blake, who did the board for us last week, and the First Lady of Blake Radio, Lady D. You want to make a donation? www.blakeradio.com, and all donations are accepted. DocStanleySports.com, that's the site. The Doc Stanley Trust and God Sports and Depth Artifacts Hall of Fame. And real quickly, a minute or two, Lady A, last thoughts.
Oh, I'm just going to say goodnight to everybody. It's been an interesting week.
Mel, goes out.
Well, goodnight, everybody.
Well,
wish everybody the best, and look to talk to everybody next week. God be willing.
Yep.
Thank you, Harold. Mel, goes out.
And, Doc, on behalf of my dad, Mel Smith Sr., this is Mel Smith Jr., thanking you all so very much for the kind wishes and best wishes and kind words. It's always a blast being on this show. It's always great to be able to speak in front of the entire Sports and Depth Nation. Doc, you're the straw that stirs the drink, and we thank you so much.
Hey, Rooney, hey, we love you all too, baby. Trust in God. Thanks to that gang. And from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Larry Hardesty, you can come on and go now.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Sports and Depth.
on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is a channel, sports in depth is a show. Doc Stanley, posse members Harold Weston Jr., Mel Smith Jr., Destino Baby Lewis, Nate B. Baseball, Nady A., Cedric Raymond C. Wings, and the Hoopster, Lewis Hart. Trust in God.